Bending Light, Chapter 18. Hermione woke unrested, her eyes heavy and her cheeks stiff. She blinked, and it took precisely 2 seconds for the memories of the previous evening to rush back, searing and heartbreaking in equal measure. Her hands spasmed, and she clutched at her sheets as hot tears leaked down her temples and into her hair. His mouth, his glittering eyes, the touch and taste of him, the sensations that had burned through her body and the feelings that had exploded through her mind and heart. When they'd first kissed and his lips were so sweet and gentle, and then later when he'd been anything but gentle, and she'd only wanted more. She'd never felt so totally consumed, fingers kneading into flesh and breaths gasping into breaths, possessing and possessed. She'd been blind for him. On fire. And then to have it just yanked away. She took a shuddering breath and passed her hand over her eyes. It was cold comfort that she understood it now, and the why of his keeping away. She thought the knowing would solve everything, that it would allow her to fix the problem or at least make it go at moving on from it. But instead she was now stuck in a pitiful limbo. Draco wanted to be with her. It was fairly obvious that he cared for her, but he couldn't. Wouldn't. She slammed her fist into the mattress and kicked at her thin blanket, then lurched up and began to pace the wide wooden planks of her bedroom floor. It was absolute bullshit, completely unfair and sexist and condescending and reactionary and wrong. Just utterly wrong. Why did he get to decide? Hermione grabbed her pillow and smacked it against the wall so hard that feathers exploded around her in a little flurry. She battered at them as she heaved deep breaths, anger leaving her just as quickly as it had surged. She sagged against the wall. She was so sad. It had been lovely, hot, and so fucking magical. She wanted it back. She wanted his skin under her fingers and his lips on hers. She wanted to hold him and touch him and stretch out next to him and read him something funny and listen to some music with him on a quiet afternoon. She wanted to hear his fears, all the worst of them, and talk him through them. She wanted to step between his legs at the disco and kiss him, a touch possessively for all the world to see. But he wouldn't let her. She had seen it clearly last night, his set, white face, the finality in his eyes. He'd been deeply frightened, and not for himself, for her, which meant that he could seat his unhappiness in sacrifice and cling to it stubbornly. She knew this trait. Harry's face flashed through her mind, and she knew how difficult it was to counter. With a sigh, she looked at her clock and rubbed her gritty eyes. As much as she would prefer to lick her wounds in bed all day, there were actually things to do. She shouldered into her dressing gown, slumped across the hall to the bathroom and turned on the bath. After she'd gotten home last night, Lavender, who'd taken one look at Hermione's face and demanded to know what was wrong, had wrangled most of the story out of her. Hermione had told her in detail about the incident at Blaze's house, and less about what happened after. And although Lavender had clearly wanted to know more, she'd been so worried about Blaze that she had accepted Hermione's muttered, "I don't really want to talk about it," without much of a fight. Around 11, Blaze had finally rung to say he was fine, and that Pusey and Dolohov had gone, seemingly none the wiser. After that, they'd all agreed, via a flurry of telephone calls, that Lupin and the Order needed to be informed of the Death Eater's strange stopping. The girls had used their communication coins to send a message. Shortly after, which a faint, blue, non-corporeal Patronus followed, announcing in Lupin's habitually weary voice that he would arrive early the next afternoon. Hermione disrobed and stepped into the tepid bath with a sigh. She was both looking forward to and dreading the visit. She couldn't wait to see the professor and hear any news about her friends and parents, but she also knew that Draco would be there, and that seeing him would be torture. How was she going to face him without shattering into a million tiny pieces? She dipped her head back into the water, and a sort of desperate ache pulsed through her, a dry sob escaping her lips. How indeed? To Hermione's surprise, the Order seemed to have its own quarters in San Cipriano, so she and Lavender were now trudging up towards the piazza at the top of the town, to a flat that sat high in a building opposite the church. Lavender looped her arm into Hermione's, but didn't try to make conversation. She clearly knew something was still very amiss, but seemed to realise that Hermione needed to get through this day before they discussed it, so they completed the walk in silence. Eventually, they came to a discreet door that Lavender opened with a touch, and a one-word incantation that had been sent via their coins earlier that morning. They walked up several flights of stairs to the top floor, and another solid door. They looked at each other for a moment, then Hermione took a breath and rapped softly. After a tick, the lock and handle turned, and Professor Lupin's face appeared, then creased into a faint smile as he beckoned them in. "Hello, girls." He gave them each a nod and rested his hand briefly on Hermione's shoulder. She and Lavender returned the greeting, then began following his slightly stooped figure down the hallway towards a well-lit room at the end. "Are we the first to arrive?" Lavender asked, darting a quick look at Hermione.
Yes.
Lupin's voice held a little cipher, but Hermione was too busy being relieved that she'd have a little time to prepare for Draco's appearance to notice it much. They emerged into a large, airy space, sparsely furnished, with tall white walls and a bank of windows that looked out over the countryside beyond the piazza. Hermione's eyes took a moment to adjust to the bright light streaming in, but she didn't miss a dark figure, its back to them, silhouetted against the panes. She blinked a few times and then gasped and rushed forward.
"Harry!"
Her voice broke on his name, and he turned and caught her as she threw herself into his arms, tears starting wildly from her eyes.
"Hello?"
There was a catch and a touch of a laugh in his voice as he held her tightly before pulling back.
"Lovely to see you too."
The laughter faded as he looked at her face.
"Are you all right?"
Hermione dashed at her eyes and gave a watery chuckle of her own.
"Yes, fine. God, I'm just really happy to see you. What are you doing here?"
Her gaze swung back from him to Lupin and back.
"Being jealous of you, for one thing."
Harry half turned and gestured to the view.
"This is incredible."
Hermione nodded and sniffed.
"Yeah, it's not the worst place to spend a summer."
Lavender's voice piped up from behind her.
"I'll say. Hello, Lavender."
Harry gave her a brief nod, then his eyes cut to Hermione's and widened a bit. She gave him a quick smile, then turned to pull Lavender forward by the hand.
"It's been even better due to you being here."
Hermione raised her brows very slightly at Harry. His flew up, but then he nodded.
"Excellent.
Anyone like a cup of tea?"
Lupin had been standing to the side, but now he spoke up.
"Yes, please. I'll help. You two as well?"
Lavender moved towards Lupin and looked at Harry and Hermione, who nodded their thanks. Hermione gave Lavender a look to let her know that she appreciated the moment alone with Harry, and Lavender smiled before turning to follow the professor. As soon as they disappeared back down the hall, Hermione turned to Harry and put out her hands. He took them and squeezed while she looked over him, happiness edging out her earlier grim mood. He looked different, noticeably taller and a little thin. His hair was very long, but it suited him somehow. She squinted.
"What?"
he asked.
"You look good. I don't know."
She cocked her head.
"Your hair looks different."
"Just haven't cut it all summer."
Harry ruffled it self-consciously and lifted his chin at her.
"You're looking well yourself."
Italy, Hermione said with a shrug. It's happened to all of us. Of course, this statement called forth a memory of Draco from yesterday. Emerging from Blaze's pool, skin light gold and hair streaming, water trickling over the beautiful muscular of his chest. She looked down and gave a sharp exhale, causing Harry to look at her with concern again.
Are you sure you're all right?
His one hand, still holding hers, gave a squeeze. Hermione shook her head. Fine. Tell me what you're doing here. What you've been doing. Are you staying? Have you heard from Ron?
Okay. Let's sit for this.
Harry laughed, then let her go and moved to a large dining table that was situated under the windows. He pulled out a chair and Hermione dropped down into the one next to him.
I am here, I suspect, because I harangued Remus into letting me come. I've been holed up at a safe house outside of Manchester all summer, and it's been incredibly dull. Well, mostly.
Harry's eyes shifted to the side in a significant way, but he kept talking, so Hermione didn't have a chance to ask him what he meant.
He happened to be there checking up on me when your call came in,
Harry continued.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I pleaded.
Hermione laughed and gave him a quick smile.
I don't believe I'm staying any longer than Remus, although it is my birthday tomorrow, so maybe I can beg an extra night if you have a sofa I can kip on?
Your birthday, of course, I'd totally forgotten the date. Hermione shook her head. Time moves strangely here. And yes, you should absolutely stay one more day if you can. That would be lovely.
I'm going to try.
Harry rubbed his hands together and narrowed his eyes.
Oh, and I haven't heard from Ron, although they assure me he's fine.
Hermione nodded, glad to hear it. She opened her mouth to ask Harry about some of the others she thought might be in the programme, but he spoke first.
So,
he lowered his voice,
what's it been like to be here with Malfoy? Do you see him at all? I understand he, Not, and Zabini will arrive shortly.
To Hermione's deep consternation, she felt a wash of hot red sweep up her neck and over her face at Harry's words. She looked away and cleared her throat, and when she chanced a look back, Harry was watching her, brows in his hairline.
It's been fine, she mumbled quickly. A little rough in the beginning, but not now. We do all see each other quite a lot. Theo and I are taking a language course together. Lavender and Blaze are...
She twirled her finger in a circle, and Harry's mouth dropped open.
Oh, Ron will shit when he hears that.
Why? Hermione was annoyed. He broke up with her.
Yeah, but you know how he is,
Harry shrugged.
And obviously you become friends with her?
Very good friends, yes.
Harry nodded, surprise still showing in his features.
And what about Malfoy? Are you friends too, or is he still... himself?
Hermione opened her mouth to respond, but no sound came out except for a little choking noise. Luckily, in that moment, Lavender and Lupin walked back in with the tea things, Lavender asking what time the others would arrive.
Any minute now, Lupin was saying. I asked them to come later so you two could have a bit of time before they got here.
He smiled at Harry and Hermione as he arranged the table.
We're on a rather tight schedule, unfortunately. I have to be back at headquarters this evening. About that, Harry said,
and Lupin glanced over at him.
Do you think I could stay a little longer? Just tonight and tomorrow. Extend the portkey?
Lupin lowered his brows and opened his mouth, but Harry preempted him.
It's my 17th birthday tomorrow, you know.
Lupin's eyes fluttered shut, and the saddest expression crossed his face.
Oh my gods, of course, Harry.
He heaved a sigh. Sometimes we get so caught up in the mechanics of things that we forget you're a boy too, don't we?
Almost a man. 17 years, my gods.
He dropped into a chair suddenly, shaking his head and looking down. After a while, he sighed again.
Let me just check a few things, but yes, I think you can stay an extra day to celebrate with your friends.
We'll have a party at ours,
Lavender said, decisively, from the other side of the table.
We'll invite the Slytherin boys and some of our Muggle friends from town. I'll cook, and we'll ask Draco to bring the music player. It'll be a little strange for you, Harry, but fun, I think.
Harry's eyebrows had inched up at this recitation, but he nodded slowly, his face incredulous.
Okay. Sounds interesting.
Hermione, whose stomach had lurched at the sound of Draco's name, caught Harry's eye and gave him a half-smile. Visions of him mixing with the rest of the San Cipriano crowd ran through her mind. It certainly would be interesting.
We'll get along rather well, Lavender said. You'd never expect it, but there you are.
She shrugged.
I'm glad to hear that, Lupin said. There was some, hand-wringing around the makeup of this particular group. It's good that you've worked through any differences.
Lavender caught Hermione's eye at that moment, and, despite her current mind state, Hermione had an unholy desire to laugh. She bit down on her lip while Lavender turned her own escaped giggle into a cough. Harry looked at them both with narrowed eyes, and Lupin just gave them a funny smile. Just then, a knock sounded at the front door, and they all sat up a little straighter. Hermione felt the cold prickling of nerves all over her body. Her heart sped up, and she gripped her hands tightly in her lap. Lavender took an audible breath, and Harry, whose face had been warm and open, suddenly looked remote and cold. Lupin stood up.
And that'll be the boys.
He went down the hall, and a few seconds later they heard steps and quiet greetings. Hermione instantly picked out Draco's low tones and focused on a point in the corner of the room, reminding herself to breathe. Of course, she was aware of his tall form the moment he entered, although she didn't look at him. Instead, her mind helpfully served up visions from last night. Right when she'd pushed him down on the sofa, and he'd looked up at her from under his lashes, eyes glittering silver. And when he'd grabbed her and said, "Come here," the moment she'd truly lost control. Hermione took a deep breath and forced herself back to the present, forced herself to pay attention to the strange round of half-introductions that was taking place, as if they hadn't all gone to school together for 6 years. But she supposed they were almost different people now. She tuned in just as Draco and Harry were warily saying hello.
Malfoy?
Harry half stood and nodded, then very deliberately held out his hand. Hermione looked at him in surprise and saw his eyes serious on Draco's. Draco leaned forward and they shook. Hermione glanced quickly at Draco as he stepped back, a tactical error, since he had also chosen that second to look at her. They were both caught for a beat, neither able to look away. Hermione felt the colour drain from her face, even as she noticed spots of red standing out in Draco's pale cheeks. He also looked like he hadn't slept, although the dark circles under his eyes and hollows in his cheeks just made him more beautiful. A mild throat-clearing sound broke the moment, which Hermione realised had stretched into near awkwardness. She very much did not look at Harry afterwards, although she felt his attention sharp on her. But then he and Lupin were making the rounds with Blaise and Theo, after which Theo came over to give Hermione a fierce hug, grasping her tightly and telling her he was so glad she was all right. Hermione again felt the beam of Harry's extreme curiosity. He caught her eye and blinked a few times as everyone got settled. They were definitely going to need a bit of a chat later. Everyone eventually served themselves tea and sat. Lupin was at the head of the table, Blaise and Lavender on his right, Harry and Hermione on his left. Theo had dropped into the other seat next to Hermione, and Draco had placed himself at the foot. As far away as possible, Hermione thought morosely. Lupin called the little meeting to order and relayed what he could of news and plans. The Azkaban break figured prominently, and although nothing had been heard from the Death Eaters since, Lupin's words conveyed a palpable sense of waiting, as if the Order was expecting the other shoe to fall at any moment. Hermione hoped they were prepared, realising with a little jolt how much she'd allowed herself to forget about the cares of the outside world this summer. As for their post-San Cipriano plans, nothing had changed. But for Draco, they'd all presumably been going back to school in September. Although Hermione noticed a strange expression cross Harry's face when Lupin mentioned it.
When preliminaries were out of the way, Lupin sat down, took out a notebook and asked for a close recitation of exactly what had happened the day before. Theo and Lavender spoke up, running through the first part rather quickly, although Lupin paused them to deliver a sharp scold to the San Cipriano group over their foolishness in travelling outside of the wards. Hermione nodded along, chagrined. It was clear they'd all gotten entirely too comfortable. Lupin finished and looked at Blaise.
That said, I'll be sending someone out to change and strengthen the walls at the villa early next week. After that, it will be safe as a town, and no one should be able to just drop in.
He looked around to encompass the wider group.
I think it's actually wise to have another safe place that's not the village for you to go to. Somewhere you can apparate to and from quickly.
Hermione looked down at the word apparate, images and sensations from last night tumbling through her mind. She looked up again when Lupin said her name, requesting that Blaise, Draco and she give a detailed recap of what had happened after the Death Eater's arrival. Hermione and Draco let Blaise carry most of the narrative, since he'd seen and heard everything, and they'd mostly been hidden away. And as he relayed the whole encounter, it truly did seem like the visit had been unplanned, although the professor's brow furrowed in a few places as he took notes. Blaise came to the end when he'd seen the two men off, and Lupin looked down at the table at Hermione, and then Draco.
"And you two obviously sidelonged with no trouble?"
He appeared at them over half spectacles.
"Yes, no trouble," Draco said softly.
Hermione swallowed and nodded, not daring look in his direction.
"And then you just..."
Lupin waved his hand.
"Back home and all that? Nothing strange on this side when you reappeared?"
"No," Hermione tried to say, but it came out strangled. She cleared her throat.
"Nothing. Everything was fine. Good. Very... good."
Draco's voice trailed off, and Hermione stared hard at the smooth wood grain under her clasped fingers. Several moments of silence passed.
"Well, that's brilliant. Is there anything else you need to know, Professor Lupin?"
Lavender's bright tones cut through the quiet room. Lupin appeared to be reading down his notes.
No. I think this is fine. Draco, you said you had something to talk to me about, though? Correct?"
He looked down at the table, and Draco nodded.
"Just in private, Professor."
Hermione couldn't help but send a questioning glance at him, and he met her eyes again. But after a moment he looked away, and she felt all the frustration and anguish from yesterday well up again. He wasn't going to tell her anything, or share what he was talking to Lupin about. He was going to keep her at arm's length, for her bloody protection. She felt like screaming. Abruptly, she scraped her chair back, pushing so hard she almost hit the wall behind her. Both Harry and Theo looked at her in surprise, but she ignored them and stood up, pushing her chair back with an equal force.
"Well, if we're done here," she said, hearing the anger in her own voice.
She wasn't looking at Draco, but she saw his head flip up. She suddenly didn't know if she could stay in the same room with him without crying or yelling, or possibly both. She threw a slightly desperate look at Lavender, then said,
"I'll just wait downstairs. Lovely to see you, Professor."
Lupin nodded a little confusedly and pushed up out of his chair.
"And you are staying till Sunday?" Hermione turned to Harry.
Yes, he said, looking to Lupin for confirmation. "Just a few details to work out."
"A very few. Be well, Hermione."
Lupin's kind eyes rested on her, and he gave her a slightly puzzled smile.
"Thank you." Hermione nodded at the professor. "I'll see you downstairs," she said to Harry,
then gave everyone else a little wave and started for the hallway. She really needed to get out of there right now. Thankfully, Draco had stayed seated so she wouldn't have to walk by and smell him or something. Blaze and Lavender seemed to be lingering, but Theo jumped up and said,
"I'll go with you, Hermione,"
and she looked at him gratefully as he came up behind her.
"Bye, Professor,"
he shouted as they started down the hall. Hermione looked back one last time to see Draco's eyes on them, his face set in tight lines. Hermione said goodbye to Theo and watched him stride across the square. He turned one last time and saluted her before he continued down the winding street.
"You weren't joking when you said you'd all become friends."
Harry's voice came from behind her, and he pulled the door to the building shut. Hermione turned to see Harry's eyes focused on Theo's retreating back.
"Yes, I'm sure it's a bit of a shock."
"Stranger things have happened."
Harry flashed a smile and came to join her at the wall ringing the square. He leaned and looked out at the view, and they were silent for a moment. Hermione's mind went to whatever was happening upstairs, whatever Draco needed to speak to Lupin about.
"Hey."
Harry's voice broke into her thoughts, and he bumped her shoulder.
"Lavender said to tell you she's going out to the villa with Blaze and the Professor. Lupin's going to put some temporary wards on it before the experts come out. She said she'd have dinner there. I think she's trying to give us some time together."
"She does that," Hermione said with a smile.
"It was a nice thought of her."
Harry turned away from the view to look at Hermione.
"So, will you give me the grand tour?"
"Of the village? Absolutely."
Hermione moved close and linked her arm in his. "I'll stop by the cafe where I work and get lunch, and then I'll show you the sights." She was tired and heartsick, yes, but she knew the distraction would do her good. And she really did want to show her little world to her best friend. "We'll have a ramble."
"Sounds ace. This place is just..."
Harry craned his neck to look around.
"It's like something from a Muggle film."
"I know."
Hermione shook her head. "It seems unreal at times. A little bubble we've all been trapped in." She looked away, images from the last 2 months running through her mind, bringing with them an ache of sadness. Harry squeezed her arm and she started.
"Shall we go?"
"Yes, let's." "This is really nice, Hermione."
Harry looked around as they walked into the sitting room of her flat after their afternoon of exploring.
"Compares very favourably with the musty 8x10-foot bedroom I've got all summer. Shades of the cupboard under the stairs."
He shuddered and Hermione laughed.
"Sorry for that. I guess they wanted to hide the Chosen One in the last place anyone would look."
Hermione grimaced and went towards the kitchen.
"Have a seat and I'll bring her something to drink."
She looked in the fridge.
"Beer, wine, tea? I think Lavender has a bottle of vodka. And there's Coke."
"Or whatever you're having."
Harry stretched out on the slouchy sofa. "White wine," Hermione declared. "Cool and non-fizzy. I'm too full for anything else after that gelato." Harry nodded.
"Yeah, probably shouldn't have gotten 3 flavours myself. But it was so good."
"I know. All the food here is."
Hermione shook her head and busied herself with the wine bottle as Harry yawned and stretched.
"So the food is lovely, the town is lovely."
Harry straightened back up.
"And your work is good. Places to swim and a disco. You've learned Italian, new friendships, building bridges with Slytherin House. I'd say your summer has been rather nice."
Hermione nodded slowly. In a lot of ways it had been very nice, and in others it had been excruciating.
"Absolutely," she said after a long pause.
"So why then?"
Harry pinned her with a stare as he accepted his glass of wine.
"Are you so bloody unhappy?"
Hermione started to protest, but he held a hand up.
"Don't try to fob me off. I know you too well, and we're going to talk about this now. It's got something to do with Malfoy, doesn't it? I swear, if he has said one word out of line to you..."
"No,
No, Harry, it's not that. Draco hasn't... Hermione's voice gave out, and she flopped down next to Harry on the couch, laying her head back and closing her eyes.
Not. Is it not, then? I could tell there was something with the two of you. He was entirely too...
Hermione opened her eyes and squinted at Harry. When did you get so bloody observant? An absurd desire to laugh bubbled through her. Who are you and what have you done with my best friend?
I've done a lot of thinking. And listening, this summer.
Harry muttered cryptically.
After last year. A lot has happened over the last few months.
He looked into the distance, his eyes unfocused. Suddenly he shook his head.
But we're not talking about me.
Yet. Hermione narrowed her eyes at him. Something big had been going on with him too, she was sure of it.
Okay, but you first. What's he done?
Harry said softly, but with an undercurrent of menace. Hermione felt balanced on a knife edge. Should she tell him? Could she even keep it from him at this point? Would telling him make it better or worse? There was only one way to find out. She heaved a huge sigh and rolled her neck to look over at him. Other than made me fall for him. Harry's eyes widened to saucers and his mouth dropped open. He stared at her for several seconds and then collapsed against the back of the couch. But then he bolted upright again.
Wait. Do you mean not, or...
Hermione closed her eyes again. No, Draco. You and I are just friends. I mean, I did kiss him that one time, but that was before. Harry, who had been in the process of taking a large drink of wine, started coughing. He pitched forward and Hermione reached over to smack him on the back a few times until he finally spluttered out.
Bloody hell.
He said, eyeing her and taking another gulp. His glass was almost gone, so Hermione went to refill it. They were clearly going to need additional liquid fortification for the rest of this conversation. I know. It's completely mad, she said, as she upended the bottle over his glass.
Not so mad, he muttered. They're both bloody fit.
It was Hermione's turn to choke on her wine.
What did you say?
Harry held his glass up and looked at it.
Hell, that went to my head,
he said wonderingly. Hermione kept looking at him, her face frozen and her head cocked.
My part of this talk is next, remember?
He said.
Let's keep on the subject of you. What the fuck happened? I mean... Now that you've told me this, a lot of today's behaviour makes more sense. The tension was so thick in that room I thought someone was going to self-combust. And now that I think back, Malfoy looked approximately as happy as you do right about now. Has he, fallen for you too?
Hermione started out of the attested state that Harry's words had created. Do you want the long, detailed version, or the abridged?
Abridged. I haven't changed that much.
Harry smiled and Hermione snorted, but all the humour faded as she thought of how to relay her tale. Harry looked at her and his eyes softened.
You really are sad,
he said, reaching his hand out and placing it over hers. She felt tears prick in her eyes again. I am, even though it's all so surreal. But it did happen, and to answer your question, yes, I believe he has fallen for me too. Not that it bloody seems to matter. Hermione directed a pained half-smile at the floor, but then she took a deep breath, looked up at Harry and proceeded to outline the last couple of months with Draco. The ups and downs, the back and forth, even the detour with Theo. And finally to the night before, which she could barely speak of, saying only, unable to meet Harry's eye, face hot, that they'd gotten carried away before the noise stopped them and triggered Draco's final rebuff.
Fuck.
Harry shook his head when she finished.
What do the others think of all this? From the looks of flying around the room earlier, I take it everyone knows?
Oh, yes. It's no secret. Lavender is mostly up to speed. I think Draco confides in Blaze. Theo and I have spoken of it in roundabout terms, although as you can imagine, it's rather awkward.
Harry just stared into the distance for a bit, shaking his head slowly. Hermione pushed up, got a tissue and blew her nose.
So, what do you think? She asked when she sat back down. Have I lost my mind? It's Draco bloody Malfoy, for fuck's sake. I'm still brought up short by that every now and again.
She'd almost. With Draco Malfoy. Just last night. Hermione slumped back down on the couch and gazed at Harry, who was looking pensive.
It's absolutely mad, of course.
Harry gave a funny little shrug.
But you're caught here with this sort of dream world. I don't know. I guess it's... understandable?
Hermione blinked several times. She'd thought he would take this harder. Thought they would be more, how could you, unless I get it.
For what it's worth, Harry was saying slowly, I've learnt quite a lot about what he went through last year. I feel like I owe him a bit of an apology, actually.
Hermione felt her brows go up. Draco? Why? Harry nodded and rubbed the back of his neck.
I've sort of been demanding to know more, be included more, in the Order's doings and plans. You know, if I'm going to risk my life.
He looked at her with a fleeting smile.
And they agreed?
Yeah. They use the house where I'm staying for meetings, and I've been sitting in. So I have heard about Malfoy and his family, what happened, why he did what he did, how his views have changed.
His gaze cut to hers.
Did you know he took Veritaserum and gave memories?
I didn't, Hermione said slowly. Voluntarily.
Harry nodded.
He insisted. They couldn't make him because he was a minor at the time, but he wanted to. His father wasn't in support, but his mother gave permission.
Hermione blew out a long breath, suddenly flooded with sadness for Draco. His mother.
He did tell me some of what happened, though, she said quietly. Not explicitly, but enough.
She turned her head towards Harry.
And he apologised.
For?
Just all of it. The mudblood stuff. Explained how he'd been changing.
The memory of that conversation on the bench blazed through Hermione's mind. She balled her fist and thwacked the couch.
It's not fair, Harry. He wants this. I want it. But he just won't let it happen.
Harry shrugged.
I get it. I get where he's coming from.
Of course you do. I knew you'd fucking say that.
Hermione's anger spilled over.
I'm glad he's thinking that way. And it shows he truly cares for you.
But you have to understand how unfair and patronising it is. To just make that determination and not give me any say?
Hermione got up and crossed the room, needing to move in her agitation.
It's a terrible responsibility, Hermione.
I know that. God!
Hermione rested her forehead against the sitting room window and looked out, barely seeing the bright blue sky and yellow walls of the houses across the narrow lane.
But what if this is it, Harry? What if this is all we have? Our only chance?
Her eyes went to his in sombre entreaty.
That's the only valid counter-argument, he said quietly.
The room was silent for a few moments until Harry spoke again.
I can barely believe my eyes, but I can see how much you care for him. Are you going to talk to him? It sounds like you left it rather abruptly last night. And he's obviously torn up too. If you want to, press your case, he's probably fairly vulnerable.
Oh, you know me.
Hermione gave a sharp, bitter laugh.
And never leave well enough alone. I probably will have another go at him. I want to know what he's talking to Lupin about for one thing.
She ran her hands through her hair.
pushing it back off her forehead in a rough motion. More wine? She nodded to Harry's glass.
Why not?
All right. Hermione went to the fridge, but before opening it, she popped back up. It's your turn.
Huh?
Harry was trying to look blasé, but his cheeks had flushed. You're part of this talk. Hermione pulled the bottle out and attacked it with a corkscrew. She finally got it open and then walked back over to the sofa. What she said earlier? Harry's eyes were focused downwards, and his fingers were fiddling restlessly with a braided trim on a throw pillow. Hermione shook her head and put up her palm. Actually, let me rephrase that. You don't have to tell me anything, unless you want to. I want to listen and I'm here for you. Anything you want to tell me or not tell me is okay. She put her hand out and touched his arm. Harry took a deep breath and looked up at her.
Well, you've probably already got some idea from what I've said.
Hermione did, and the idea was surprising. But as she ruminated on it, it also made a lot of sense. But she didn't want to put words in his mouth, so she just nodded slowly.
So, I realised, I've been realising for a while, that I'm not just attracted to girls.
Harry spoke with difficulty, his head down again.
I think I probably first felt it in fourth year, with Cedric, and then Bill. Not that I did anything with anyone, I just noticed them in a different way.
He glanced quickly up at Hermione, and she nodded again encouragingly.
That's mostly what it's been, just noticing. I definitely noticed Malfoy last year, for instance, when I was tracking him like a bloodhound.
He raised his brows. Well, he is ridiculously good-looking, Hermione sniffed, holding out the wine bottle. Harry gave a short laugh and nodded, so she filled his glass.
But then this summer, I, haven't been alone in the safe houses.
No? Hermione was burning with curiosity, but she knew instinctively that this was a time for patience and listening.
No, I was assigned a partner too.
His eyes flicked to hers.
It's Dean.
A thousand questions crowded into Hermione's mind, but she quieted them for now, saying only, I see.
I know you're wondering about Ginny.
Hermione lifted a shoulder. Well, yeah.
Well, it's really between Ginny and me, but I'll just tell you that she knows and she's okay with it. We'd already decided not to be together when we left school for the year, before everything else.
He blew out a sharp sigh.
Look, I care deeply for her, but I'm still trying to figure out who I am. And I have, you know, a death sentence hanging over my head, so it's incredibly complicated.
And you're only 17, Hermione said gently, thinking of Theo in the olive grove.
I'm only bloody 17. Well, almost, said Harry with a sharp laugh. And Dean really understands the whole thing.
He waved his arm.
He gets that it's about giving what we can and no more than that.
I see what you're saying, Hermione said softly. That must be nice, to have the comfort and the release. She felt herself pink slightly, and Harry's cheeks flamed too.
Yeah, it is.
Harry took a deep drink of wine. Are you happy? Hermione asked, seeking his eyes. He blinked a few times.
As much as I can be, yeah. I'm still bloody frightened, and I worry about bringing anyone into my orbit and putting them in danger. I really do understand where Malfoy's coming from.
How do you think Dean would react if you told him you couldn't see him anymore because of that? Hermione asked, raising her brows.
Harry laughed. Probably call me a condescending git.
Exactly. They were silent for a moment. Then Hermione tipped her head over onto Harry's shoulder. I'm really glad you and Dean have each other, you know. I'm glad that you told me.
I'm glad I told you too. It feels good to have you know.
It's just Dean, Ginny and me who do.
And Remus.
Ah, that's good. Hermione looked up at him. What about Ron?
That's going to be difficult, I think.
Harry closed his eyes. Well, maybe I can soften him up by first introducing him to my new almost-a-boyfriend, Draco Malfoy. Harry started laughing. The old bait-and-switch. Hermione also started to giggle.
Is it possible for a 17-year-old to have a heart attack?
Harry asked, really cracking up now. Seriously, though? Hermione tried to catch her breath. I'll keep this private, of course, if you want me to. I'm guessing you aren't out to everyone else here. Harry shrugged.
I'm not going to advertise it, but I'm not going to try and hide it either. And Dean and I aren't exclusive. Neither of us wants a relationship.
He turned to her.
I'm not going to make big, like, announcements, but you can be open about it, and if people ask, you can tell them I'm bi.
Hermione nodded. And when we go back to school?
About that.
Harry took another deep breath. What?
I have something else to tell you.